In this episode,
you do not read your Bible and decide by yourself that you understand what it means. No, children don't have a filter. They do not filter the word of God with past assumptions or with past experiences. Take off your sandals, for this is a holy ground. You want to come to the presence of the Lord? Come like a child. I don't know nothing. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I read and he prayed. I will ask the Lord, so what does this prayer mean? Because I've heard preachers say that you pray and you brakata, you speak in tongues, does not mean I understand what it means when the Bible says pray. When the Lord says come, it does not mean I have to go fast for 40 days.
Hello and welcome to Kingdom Activate. My name is Daya. Continuing from last time, we spoke about the power of the revealed knowledge. So we have the head knowledge and the revealed knowledge. The head knowledge is intellectual, but we are not really talking about the intellectual knowledge. We are talking about the revealed knowledge, which is only revealed by the Spirit of God. The knowledge that liberates, the knowledge that activates the purpose of God in your life. The kind of knowledge that gives you confidence, power, strength to be able to stand, to be able to walk, to be able to face tribulations, to be able to face your enemy and not back down. That is the kind of knowledge we are discussing. And that is the kind of knowledge that is only given by the Spirit of God. Because when David stood in front of Goliath, there was no doubt in his heart. He knew, and he knew that Goliath was going to go down because he knew the will of the Father. He knew what God had said about him, and he went after it. Today, we are discussing how to know. I know the Bible. I know what the Bible says does not equal to I understand. It's been revealed to me, and that revelation has built faith in me. And for that purpose, I'm walking in the reality of that word that I know. So there is a difference between knowing a word and walking in that word, testing, approving, understanding that word. This knowledge, as we said last time, is the knowledge of God. And because it's the knowledge of God, we have to seek God in order to receive this knowledge. Does that make sense? In order for us to know, we have to seek the King. We have to seek the owner of this knowledge. The picture that comes to mind when I think about seeking the story of Mary and Martha. Let's talk about the story of Mary and Martha. You can find that story in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Martha received Jesus into her house. Mary, her sister, sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Martha was distracted. Martha was troubled and worried about much service. So Martha approached Jesus and said, "Don't you care that my sister is not helping me? She's leaving me by myself to do all of this service. Bid her now. Tell her now to come and help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful. You are anxious. You are worried and troubled about many things. But only one thing is needful, and that Mary has chosen. It will never be taken away from her." Now let's break this down. Remember, Martha received Jesus into her house. Martha is not a stranger. She knew Jesus. She received him into her house. But Mary, her sister, was the one who sat at his feet. What does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? It means to be in the presence of the Lord, right? Jesus is the Lord. To sit means to dwell. Not just to come once and go. That's why I talk about Sunday service. Not just to come on Sunday or come in the morning, come in the night. Dwell. That is your dwelling place. You have nowhere else to go. This is where you stay at the feet of Jesus. You dwell in the presence of the Lord night and day, day and night. That was the picture of Mary. Now let's talk about exactly what Mary was doing. And then we're going to juxtapose it with Martha, because I want us to see clearly how this is right before our eyes, but it's never really obvious to us. Okay, Mary and Martha. We're going to call Mary the ecclesia, the church. Okay, and we are going to call Martha the busy church. Do you understand? Now, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people in the church. We're talking about every human being that has accepted Christ as their Lord and their Savior, right? Because remember, Martha received Jesus into her house. You have received Jesus into your heart.
And if you haven't done that, go ahead. Listen, it's not hard to do. As I speak in this moment, go ahead and submit your heart. Let the Lord lead you. Tell Him to teach you how to be His son. Tell Him to teach you how to be His child. Let it come from within your heart. Wherever you are, in your car driving, if you're in your house, if you're cooking, if you're having fun with your friends, or whatever you're doing, let your heart be connected to the Lord, because He knows you. He can hear you. He knows your heart, right? So God is not so high above that He can't see you. He's not so low below that He can't draw near to you. He's in all things. He's omnipresent. Do you understand that? So God is everywhere. You know, the time I really understood this part was when I was reading my Bible and I saw when God told Moses, He said, "I have heard the cries of my people." But this same Moses also asked, "What should I tell them? Who should I tell them that you are?" So they didn't know Him, but He heard their cries. Who were they crying to? They weren't saying, "God, help us." No. Their heart was crying to Him, because He knows His people. He knows you. And the Bible says that, "For God so loved the world, the people in the earth, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomever believes shall not perish." Belief always, always, and will always gear you towards making an action. You believe that the Lord can hear you. Go ahead and submit your heart. It is not too hard. The Lord can hear you. The Lord can see you, and He knows you. Before you were formed, before He gave you a body, before He determined how you're either going to be a man or a woman, before He determined all of that, the Bible says, before you were formed, I knew you. Okay? So do not feel like you cannot come to the Lord. Yes, you can. You're His creation. You were determined. You were thought of. I'm digressing just so we can understand that this message is for people who have received the Lord into their heart. And if you say you're a believer, please check. Do you understand this? If you say you're a believer, please check. Ask the Lord. He can hear you. Anyway, I do not want to digress too far so that we stay on topic. Please do not lose the narrative. We are talking about how to know. What are we trying to know? The revealed knowledge. How can this knowledge be revealed to us, right? Now, we are juxtaposing two situations, two people. Remember, the church are the people, not the building. Two people, two churches, the busy church and the ecclesia. That's what we're calling them. Now, Mary is the ecclesia, the church, and Martha is the busy church. We're going to first zoom into Mary. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing His word. The Bible says, heard His word. The word heard here, in Greek, it means akouo. To hear, it means to listen intentionally, to make a decision, to intentionally be determined to listen, comprehend, and take an action. Do you understand this? It talks about making a choice. Remember, Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen. You have to choose. In order for you to choose, you intentionally, self-awareness, you are aware of your choice. You decide on your own, I want to listen. In order for you to actually akuo or shama, you have to intentionally lay down your ears, hearken your ears to listen, to comprehend. Do you understand this? With the intention to take an action. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Do you see this? So, Mary was not only sitting at the feet of Jesus. She made an intentional choice. She made an aware choice. She made a choice. She knew her sister. She knew her sister was busy with much service. She was not blind. She knew the choice she made. She made a choice to sit at His feet. Mary made a clear choice to sit in the presence, to dwell in the presence of the Lord, and to hear with an intention to take an action. Are we clear? She was dwelling. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And they will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, because they have confidence. They know. Okay? Now, dwelling, I want to describe what it means to dwell. What does it mean for us to dwell? It means when you wake up. It means when you're walking. It means when you're shopping. It means when you're in the crowd, when you're in church, when you're seated, when you're by yourself, when you're playing a game, it means when you're doing the dishes, it means every second and every moment of your life, you're able to communicate, you're able to hear of this word. Do you understand this? Now, do not think that this is very possible, because I'm going to show you even how Jesus did it. Because Jesus was also a man who walks this earth, who knew, he knew his Father always heard him. Each time Jesus prayed out loud for us to hear, he prayed so that we would hear him. When Jesus prayed, he always prayed in his heart. When you read a book, do you hear a voice narrating to you? When you read these words on the screen, do you hear a voice narrating to you? Can you hear a voice in your head? The prodigal son, remember? The Bible says that, and he said unto himself. Do you say unto yourself? If you do, you're able to communicate to the Lord. Listen, everybody does. Everybody has that voice. You might not pay attention to it. You might not have known that you had it. This is the time for you to know that you have a voice. It's called an inner voice, an internal monologue. You're able to talk to yourself. What am I going to wear today? You're thinking in your heart, what am I going to wear today? Maybe I should wear the shoes. What am I going to make for dinner? You're talking to yourself. That is where, how you communicate with the Lord. Let's break this down. So many places, the Bible says that, and the Pharisees said to themselves, and he was thinking in his heart, and Jesus heard. Each time he's thinking in his heart. Remember when a lady came to wash Jesus' feet with her tears, and she anointed them, then she wiped them with her hair. And the Pharisee that invited Jesus into his house said to himself, like, this man is not a prophet. If he knew, he wasn't talking to anybody. He was talking to himself, thinking these thoughts, talking to himself. If he was a prophet, he would have known that this woman, she's a sinner. And Jesus said to him, she's forgiven. Even when Jesus spoke to the lame man, his friends brought him down through the roof. And Jesus said to him, he said, your sins are forgiven. And they began to think in their heart. They did not say the words out. They were thinking in their heart. How did Jesus know the thoughts of their heart? We never pay attention to this. But remember what I said it earlier. God is omnipresent. God knows you. Let the meditations of your heart, let it be pleasing to the Lord. Remember when David was crying unto the Lord? He said, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. Because God knows the meditations of your heart. Do you understand this? So this is where you're able to communicate with the Lord. There's a place in the Bible, actually, in Luke 9, chapter 18. I'm going to read the King James Version. It says, and it came to pass as he was alone praying. This is Jesus. The Bible is talking about Jesus. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. How is that possible? How can you be alone praying and the disciples are with you? Now, we're going to draw a picture of how this communication goes. Because walking with the Lord is intimate. Do you understand this? Walking with the Lord takes a lot of love. What does it feel like when you fall in love with your partner? You want to be around them. You want to hear them speak. You want to share life with them. You want to experience life with them. You want to know how they're doing. You want to share your joys with them, how your day went, your sadness. You want to, when you're not okay, you want to express yourself. Some people have their best friends on speed dial. Whenever something happens, when something doesn't work out well, when they have a heartbreak, they're able to call their friend like, oh, can you imagine what happened? Anything goes wrong, you have your friends on speed dial. You have your husband on speed dial. You have your wife on speed dial. You have your parents on speed dial. Have you ever thought about it? That there is somebody, there is one who knows your heart, who is there with you all times. He was there when you were born. He was there even before you were born. He knew you. When you grew up into who you are right now, he was there in your sadness, in your joy, when you were heartbroken, when you were happy, when you were joyful, when you got out of college, when you did not even know he was there, when you thought it was you who was trying your best, when you were eating, when you were sleeping, when you woke up, there was one who was there with you. And his name is Jehovah, the I am that I am. He is, he was, and he forever will be. He's never changing. He is God. He is with you at all times. He knows the meditations of your heart. But you never really pay attention. Because remember, Martha received him into her house. But she never ever sat at his feet. She thought she had to do something. You know, join a prayer meeting. Join a club. A Bible club. It's happening there. Let's go join. She thought there was an action she had to take. She thought she had to fast for 40 days. She thought she had to do something. Stretch something. Slash something. You know, do. Because the Bible says that she was busy. She was distracted by much service. Who was she trying to serve? I'm asking. Was she trying to serve herself? No. Martha was trying to serve the Lord. But even the Lord spoke to her and said, only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that. A choice. A choice that Mary made. What was this choice Mary made? Mary made a choice to always dwell in the presence of the Lord. To hearken. While she was shopping in Sam's Club. She was pushing the cart. But she was communicating. Oh Lord, what was it you were teaching me today? When I was reading my Bible, something did not sound right. What does it mean that you are praying alone? Is it possible for you to pray alone and still be with your disciples? You were obviously not alone. And the Lord will start teaching her. Yes, because I was speaking to the Father in my heart. You know, oh Lord, look, that woman is hurting. How can I help? You see? Spending and just dwelling because she's aware of the presence of the Lord. Do you understand this? She's aware that the Lord is not in the building they call a church. She's aware that she doesn't have to go far. She's aware that she can sit at his feet. She's aware, even though it looks obvious, go and take a shower in the morning. It looks obvious to go brush your teeth, just wake up, read your Bible for 30 minutes or whatever you do. You know, it's obvious. But this Mary does not just make an action. She doesn't just take a step. She first listens. Lord, what is your will today? As she was getting to know the Lord, she's hearing. The Lord is like, okay, I want to teach you something. She reads her Bible. She doesn't read her Bible like a routine. Like, oh, I have to read the Bible in a whole year. That's not how Mary reads her Bible. Mary reads her Bible like God is talking to me. And this is important. Mary reads her Bible because she knows. Do you see this? She's aware that God is present. She's aware that the Lord is present with her. That the Lord, she can sit at his feet. His understanding is unsearchable. She knows that if you seek the Lord, he rewards you with wisdom. She knows that if you seek and hearken diligently, it is actually a commandment. Because if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, which I actually urge you to go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read the whole of it. When Moses was telling them what would happen to them if they follow these commandments and what would happen if they don't, he placed a blessing and a curse. What did he say? If you choose today to hearken diligently, the Bible says to hearken, your job is to listen. How do you listen? In order for you to listen, walk with the Lord. Remove yourself from the noise. Be present in the presence of the Lord. You can be present with your kids and still be able to communicate with the Lord. You can be shopping and still be able to communicate with the Lord. You have a smile on your face. Nobody knows what you're doing. You're in the shower. You're communicating. You're not stopping. You're in the presence of the Lord. And as you hear, as you ask questions, as you try to understand, as you comprehend, as you try to, you ask questions back and forth. And the Bible says that the Lord is gentle. His gentleness will make us great. No question is stupid to the Lord. Every question is important. As you ask questions like, oh, so I went to church today. Somebody gave a testimony. What's that testimony about? You don't have to pray for 9 hours for you to be heard. Listen. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. I need you to clear your mind from every doubt. Do you understand this? Pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying right here. In order for you to be able to do this, I'm not saying this is meant for everybody. I'm saying for those who make a choice to do this. Those that have ears will hear. That's why it's littered everywhere. For he who has ears, let them hear. If you choose, in order for you to have ear, you have to choose. Make a choice intentionally. The Lord wants you to use your mind, use your brain to make a choice. Intentionally, this is the choice I'm making. This is what I've decided to do. I've decided to sit at your presence. I've decided to dwell in your presence, to actually know you more. No wonder Paul prayed. He said, I pray that your love might abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you might know what is most important. Do you see this? Because as you're walking with the Lord, it takes love, a deep kind of love. He said that if you love me, you will do my commandment. You will do my will. The Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. The Bible even says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It is littered everywhere. That is the first and greatest commandment. In order for you to love, look at your kids. I mean, look at children. How do children love their parents? Let's talk about it. The love of a child is actually, it actually knows no bound. They want to spend time with you. They want you to play with them. They want to ask you questions. Oh, they ask so many questions. Oh, what did this happen? Why did this happen? Oh, okay. Remember what the Lord says? He says, in order for you to enter the kingdom, you have to first convert and become like a little child before you can enter the kingdom, before you can know the will of the Father, before you can spend time in the will of the Father, because it takes a lot of intimacy. It takes a lot of love. It takes a relationship. It takes dwelling. You know, they want to spend time with you. They want you to watch TV with them. They want to ask you questions. They want to rub your feet. They want to jump on your back. They want to know you. They want to ask questions. While you're getting dressed, they're in the bathroom. They're in there asking you questions like, Mommy, what are you doing? Oh, Daddy, what are you doing? What about this? Can I use this? They ask so many questions. They're trying to know you. They're trying to get to know you. They're trying to understand what your will is. They're trying to know how they can. They're happy to be in your presence. That is what this relationship is like with the Lord. You do not read your Bible and decide by yourself that you understand what it means. No. Children don't have a filter. They do not filter the word of God with past assumptions or with past experiences. They do not filter their words with what they've heard somewhere. No. They will come and ask you. You are actually their ultimate understanding. Before they take a step, you're the one who's going to teach them how to throw the trash away. You're the one who's going to teach them how to take a shower. You're the one who's going to teach them how to brush their teeth. Besides that, they do not know. So also, the Lord always tells the people, even in the Old Testament, take off your sandals, for this is a holy ground. You want to come to the presence of the Lord? Come like a child. I don't know nothing. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I read and he prayed. I will ask the Lord, so what does this prayer mean? Because I've heard preachers say that you pray and you brakata, you speak in tongues, does not mean I understand what it means when the Bible says pray. Do you understand this? When the Lord says come, or he says arise, it does not mean I have to go fast for 40 days. Or he says arise, or I go to a Bible school and start studying in the Bible school. That is not what God means. When God says come, when he says arise, you ask him, how do I come? If I do this, does this mean come? What does it mean to come, Father? Because you've said come. I've read my Bible. I've seen it in many places. The word come has been very consistent. And I believe you're talking to me. So what does it mean to come? I know I've heard it somewhere else before, that when they say come, you have to fast, make sure you fast and pray. Give me your knowledge. Let me understand what you mean by come. Guess what? You are being a child. It's going to take you step by step. Teach you, okay, this is what I mean. I want you to meditate more. I want you to stay by yourself. Spend time musing and meditating on the word that I've given you. I want, as you're meditating, I'm going to share more with you. Your mind is going to keep expanding. I want you to spend time by yourself. You know, when you go for walks, that's how God is going to keep talking to you. But you have heard it somewhere. A preacher said it. Fast for 40 days. 40 days nonstop. And so you started fasting because your head come. Do not rely on your own understanding or somebody else's understanding. Do you understand this? The Father is not missing. You see, in order for you to even pray to begin with, you have to have faith. You know it takes faith for you to come to the Lord, right? It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For those that come to God must believe that he is. Who is he? Who is this omnipresent God? Who is this omniscient God? Who is this I am? Who is this wonderful God that you have to enter a prayer chat for him to hear you? That you have to fast for 80 days for him? Who is this God? You know what? Who is this God that is so hard to reach him? It's so hard to climb the ladder to reach him. Who is this God? Who is this God? This God only requires for you to believe. He is God. He's everywhere. He's in all things. He's omniscient. He's in your heart. Now imagine, he made his home with you. How will you talk to him? Because I hear so many times, like, when you see the Lord, how will you hug him? Dude, the Lord is here. As I'm speaking, I know he's here. I know I'm not speaking from my own understanding or intellect. I am not preaching this verse or preaching this about Martha and Mary because I heard a preacher preaching it. No. I did not hear someone preaching and I go like, oh, that's a good message. No, that's not how it works. He said, I will teach you. I will lead you. I will guide you in the way that you should go. I will instruct you. I will guide you with my eye. I believe in his words. You too believe. Believe that he's a guide. Believe he's a shepherd. Believe if he's a shepherd, then he can see you. And he knows in what direction you should go. Because many times you're able to cram the Bible. You're able to cram every verse. As a matter of fact, you can recite it in your sleep. Psalm 91. Oh, there was a time I could recite Psalm 91 from verse 1 to the end. But it did not mean I walked in it. It did not mean I became that word. The Bible always talks about approving what is excellent. Approving. How can you walk with God and not be the word? You see, he says that they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And they will say, listen, you're not reciting it. You're not praying it. You say it confidently. Oh, God is my refuge. He's my fortress. Though I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I know that I will not want. I know he's my shepherd. He leads me. He has led me through the fire. He has led me through the water before. I know God is with me. You speak in your heart. You ask him questions. You talk to him. Who told you he can't hear you? He can hear you. Read your Bible. I'll give you so many verses where the Bible says that. And he said to himself, and God and Jesus answered. How did he know? Because he knows all things, even your thoughts. So talk to him. You have that internal monologue. Dialogue with the Lord. Talk to him. Pray every second, every minute. Talk about your day. Talk about the floor. Talk about your house. Talk about how things are not working out. Talk about how things are working out. Talk about what you read that you don't understand. Talk about what you understand. Make it clear, like, oh Lord, please just give me clarity. Because if I have clarity, I'll be able to know what to do. Just like Mary. Mary had clarity. She knew what was important. Sit at the feet of the Lord. So she sat. So Lord, I want clarity. You're sending me here, right? Okay. So what exactly do you want me to do? You write it down. As you're hearing, you write it down. Because he's your father. You have nowhere else to go. You're getting understanding, fresh understanding from him. You're not just hearing. You're not like a harlot or like a pig who just eats from every pastor. And just, you're not just taking in from every pastor, from every man of God you're hearing from. No. As a matter of fact, before I hearken to any pastor, any preacher, I ask the Lord first. I go within myself and the Lord will say to me, focus. I want you to hear what they're saying. I have a word for you there. I focus on what they have to say. So when they finish saying it, I have it in my mind like, oh, Lord, there was something I got from what she said. She was talking about a sandwich. She was talking about not getting too busy with other things and focusing on you. What does it mean to focus on you? You're spending your time. You're dwelling there. And as you're hearing, you are doing. As you're hearing, you're doing.
That's what it means to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Hearing his word. What does it mean to hear? Do not forget. What does it mean to hear? To hear means to intentionally decide to listen, to comprehend, to understand with the intention of taking an action. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of the Lord. And with faith, you're able to do. Paul was able to do because he believed. He heard. He dwelt in the presence of the Lord. So if you're just reading your Bible, all you're doing is reading your Bible in the morning and at night, you forget God all day. I mean, until nighttime, you pray again. Until where you want to pray, you pray again. I'm sorry. You cannot go in and out of the presence of the Lord. You see, you dwell there to know him. You dwell there to know what step you need to take. You dwell there to know how you need to behave, how you have to act. You do, and sometimes he will tell you, observe. Just pay attention. Look around you. Know what is happening. And you shut your mouth and just keep looking. Because the Lord has told you, he brought you here. Do you see this? That's why I talk about the job you are doing right now. You see, and if you know you've come a long way, you've gotten things wrong in so many ways, God is merciful. He has many paths of righteousness. Remember, he leads me in the path of righteousness, in his path of righteousness. He will lead you. Make up your mind today, not to be like Martha. Now we've zoomed into the life of Mary. We see how Mary dwelled, what it means to dwell. And I give you examples, right? What was Martha doing? She hopped on Zoom calls, Zoom meetings, Bible study here, Bible this here. Oh, they are praying in prisons. Ah, let me join them. Let me go and pray because I want to serve my God. Listen, the Lord is not asking for your service. He's asking for you to sit, dwell in his presence, and hear. So you might know. You see, how do you know? You know by dwelling. You don't know by jumping around, doing everything. You don't know by jumping around and doing everything. Let me fast. I'm not judging anybody because I've been through it before. There was a time I was fasting. I'm like, oh, I have to fast to see the face of the Lord. And I was so hungry. I had a headache. And the Lord screamed. I heard a scream in my ear. Dio, go and eat and stop stressing yourself. I'm like, but Lord, what do I do? Don't do. Sit at my feet and listen. Hearken to my voice. That's all you need to do. And when you sit and you hear, you will know. When you will not doubt. It's going to be before your face. Everybody wants to do everything to please the Lord. And I hope you know Martha was not serving herself. She was serving the Lord. But Martha, Martha. Now I'm speaking to you. Martha, Martha. Only one thing is needful. You are distracted. You are troubled by many things. How you need to pay your tithe, how you need to pay your offering, how you make sure you need to go to work, and all of this, all these troubles, they are increasing because they don't reduce. That was why she got frustrated and she came to me, the Lord. How can you be telling the Lord, Lord, please, how this is a lot of work. Can you imagine? This woman is not helping me. This man is not helping me. This daughter of yours is not helping me. But that daughter of yours is actually doing your will. Let it go and do his will. Sit at his feet. Hear his will. Know his will that you might be able to do. In Philippians 1:9, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I'm going to tell you what that means. I pray that your love might abound more and more. Like a child loves his parents and he wants to spend more time, dwell. When you're walking, when you're praying, when you can be praying and still be praying amiss. You can pray for hours and pray amiss and not be connected. You can pray and not even believe, right? When you're doing the dishes, you're cleaning your house, whatever you're doing. Connect, Lord Jesus, what is your will? Help me know you more. Draw me nearer to you. I want to do your will, Lord.
I heard something today. Is it true? What does it mean? Like a baby, like a child. So curious about everything. How? Why? When? Where? What? You see, and he says that's where you might know what is more important. You might know his will for your life. That's the only way you know what you need to do. That's the only way Gideon was able to know. That's the only way David knew that Goliath was defying the army of the Lord, according to him. That's the only way. And it says that you might approve, you might know and do his will, those that are excellent. And he said that so that you might be pure. To be pure means to be mixed with nothing. Don't do anything unnecessary. All this wahala, don't look for wahala for yourself. Do you see this? Wahala means trouble. Don't look for things that are not yours. Don't be mixed with trouble, with worry. You're pure. When you're like a bottle of water put in the light, and when assessed well, you can see, oh, it's so pure, so clean. She's doing the will of the Lord. She's going back and forth, only doing the will of the Lord. Pure, not mixed with anything. You're not going around in somebody else's business. You see, so that we can be pure, number one. Two, we can be blameless. To be blameless means to be without stumble. What does it mean to stumble? To stumble means to be distracted. You remember, the Bible says that Martha was distracted. Even though it seems spiritual to be trying to do one thing or the other, it seems spiritual, but the Bible says to be distracted. To be distracted means you're veering away from the point, from the way of the Lord, right? And not only that, you also distract other people from doing the will of the Lord. That was why she went to the Lord and said, look, tell my sister to come and help me. Mary was in the way, doing the will of God, but she could not handle it. And that was why she said to him, like, tell her to get away from the way she wanted to make her stumble to. Am I making sense? Okay. And the Bible says that we will be full of the fruits of righteousness. Oh my God. Only if you knew what it's like to walk in righteousness, to be in alignment. It comes with peace, prosperity, joy, grace. It comes with more and more and abundance of more. This is God's will for our lives. But do not forget, all of this happens because we know. To know means to dwell continuously in the presence of the Lord, hearing his word, listening, hearkening, intentionally. Make the choice today. Thank you for being here today. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed yet. If you're seeing me for the first time, thank you for being here. Do not forget to give this video a thumbs up and comment your thoughts, comment your opinions. Have you really paid attention to your inner voice, your internal monologue? Have you had conversations about yourself or with yourself before? I want to hear your comments. If you have this kind of relationship with the Lord where you're able to hear the Spirit of God and walk in obedience, and you've seen with your eyes the results of that walk, I would like to know your experiences. Thank you very much for being here today. God bless you.